So quite
okay. So I figured I had this little idea that I've been, you know, learning a lot about Shalom Bayis, trying to live Shalom Bayis, trying to work on my own Shalom Bayis. It's an exercise that's been going on for a while, and I figured I'd start to see, you know, young people move into the neighborhood and or sort of move into the neighborhood or almost move into the neighborhood, and it would be a good opportunity to have a little bit of continued shprach, so to speak, and get together and speak in a Torah way. And it would just be a good way to get some... It would be a good way if you guys hear the pots bang. It would be just something like important that when you spend a little bit of time working on something, so try to get a time where people can make it something. Well, Tuesday something. Well, Wednesday something. Well, Thursday, whatever it was. So I, out of all the times, I thought that this was the best one, and this is a nice supplement to. But yeah, this it doesn't. So this is a nice supplement to people's learning. You know, this by no matter whatsoever should be your major learning, but it's something that, you know, at the end of the week, and you know, you want to just think about something that you could put in your pocket and have an idea. I think this would be great. I also wasn't sure if I should make it source based, if I should make it non source based. You know, everything I like to do is pretty much source based and give out sources, learn something together. I wasn't sure, so I went back and forth. So we'll try it like this. And maybe next time there'll be more sources, and you know, I mean, there's plenty of sources, but I'm just saying having something in front of you in terms of Maamar Kamus. I'm a guy, I'm used to learning, and I'm used to having something in front of me. So if that's the case, you know, that's where we'll head towards. But for this week, for the first one, I wanted to get a certain message across. I think that this is the key to all of marriage, as my wife is in the other room. And from there we'll start to begin. This is something I don't talk about in chassan classes. I don't know why not, but it's something that I've given a lot of thought. So let's begin with this first Chabur, so to speak. Okay? So, you know, you have sometimes you have a guy and he comes to you and he's got like a laundry list. Well, I mean, also one more form of introduction. There are a number of different svarim that I think are beautiful that you can read on Shalom Bayis. I think the best one is Revolba's Kuntras HaChasanim. Piggybacking off that is Reb Chaim Friedlander's Sefer. I think that this Sefer here, I don't even know who it is, but he's got some beautiful svarim, Azriel Tauber, he's got a Yom Tovim, and Shalom Bayis, he has some beautiful, beautiful stuff in the Siva Shalom. You have Rabbi Nachman's svarim, now will pop. You have so many svarim on Shalom Bayis, there's so much to call from. So I'm just going to be calling the different ideas from the different people. Even YU Torah has something on it. They have a couple of little books on it. So there's so much stuff to talk about. But again, I want this to be interactive. Please feel free to talk. I could shut the tape whenever I want. I could turn it on, turn it off, and then if you want. So whatever it is. Okay. So very often you get a guy who comes with a laundry list of complaints. Such and such is going wrong. Such and such is going wrong in his marriage. And sometimes the problems are a bit much and it's checkmate, it's time to end the marriage. But we're talking about the normal laundry list of problems. The wife spends too much money. You know, you're spending too much time with the in-laws. You can come up with the regular standard run-of-the-mill problems. And there is a focus that I think if it changes... I think it could be resolved in a way with that. It's not that you're answering or solving any of the problems, so to speak, but it's a reshaping of the focus of what the marriage is, and I think that that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I just made a siyum the other day on Gittin, Baruch Hashem. At the very end of Gittin, on Daf Tzadi Amud Beis, it discusses a very, very famous Gemara. And the Gemara there discusses as to the Mizbeach is Morid Dma'os in the event of divorce. When there's a divorce, the Mizbeach begins to cry. So the Gemara then questions, why does it begin to cry? Which relationship are we talking about? The Gemara concludes that it only cries by the first divorce, but by the second divorce, it doesn't cry anymore. So I want to understand, why is the Mizbeach crying at the divorce that happens? What's the difference between the first marriage and the second marriage? And if we understand this, we'll understand a little bit as to what marriage is all about. What is this idea of the Mizbeach crying? It's interesting that we could always learn a little bit about Kiddushin from Gittin. This is why Gittin comes before Kiddushin. Gittin comes before Kiddushin because I think Gittin lends us and tells us a lot about what marriage is all about. I think they speak with more feeling. So what is Gittin telling us about Kiddushin? So let's begin. You have this guy complaining. We don't want to get to this Gittin. It's a funny way to start a Shalom Bayis by talking about divorce. But what does it mean that the Mizbeach is crying? So we say in Shema every single day, we say, We say that b'chol me'odacha, with all of your me'od. Now, normally people translate it that it's money, but the truth is the Ramban talks about it, and he says b'chol midu umida. That what it means is you have to love a Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chol levavchem, b'chol nafshechem, right? U'b'chol me'odachem, meaning with each and everything that comes your way, you still have an achrayus to love a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's no such thing as like, you know, I like, you know, you walk into a store and you pick one thing that you like and one thing you don't like, you bring one thing home, you don't bring another thing home. When it comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's an obligation. Everything that comes your way, you have an obligation that you must save upon the office. That's great. This is the way it came my way. I remember this morning, I was, you know, in school it's been a rough week. Let's just say it like this. You know, sometimes you have these weeks where, you know, it was funny, 3 weeks ago, we had 6 kids transferring, right? It was like, whoa, it was like rolling, and everybody's coming, and everybody loves DRS, and then school starts, and, you know, 6 in, 4 out. So, like, all of a sudden, there's a lot of tension, all the kids are feeling it. So, yeah, b'chol me'odacha. You have to accept it, and you have to say, b'chol midumi. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to work with this week, and this is what we're going to work with this week. When it comes to a marriage, and you have this laundry list of shilas, a laundry list of problems, that the wife is doing this wrong, and the wife is doing this wrong, or the husband is doing that wrong, and the husband is doing that wrong, that entire hashkafa is improper, because it's coming from a place of magiali. It's coming from a place of, I don't deserve that. I should have somebody who's taking care of my needs, or that the relationship is going swimmingly at all times. That's not the way life works, that's not the way we should expect life to work. Marriage, we all know, has many, many challenges, many, many opportunities, a lot of good things. But this idea that a laundry list of complaints, now there are certain things that are, you know, it's a game over. I'm not saying that, but when you start off with this concept that you have these problems, they're coming from an assumption of entitlement. Entitlement to a certain perspective of a marriage. And that's an improper hashkafa. It goes against this idea of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol me'odach. Why is that? Because there has to be emunah in our marriage. So I want to begin by talking about what does it mean to have emunah in your marriage? Or really emunah that Hashem is the one who produced the marriage. Because if you understand it in that context, you see, before you get married, everyone's always talking about Bashert, and I got to find my Bashert, and my Bashert. But it's really more important to talk about after you get married than before you get married. Because if you understand the context of marriage through the lens of having a Bashert, of somebody who was selected or preordained, perhaps, we'll see in a moment what it is, then that changes, so to speak, the very face and the very fabric of the way you view marriage. It's not that I got stuck with that. This is what is magia, that the entire person here is what I'm supposed to have. That this marriage is supposed to have. Hello, Ellie, how are you? Come, grab a seat. I saved you the head of the table. You're right on time. So there's two Gemaras that kind of conflict each other. There's the Gemara in Moed Katan and there's the Gemara in Sota, and most of the time this is like what you learn in a single Shabbaton, but I don't think it's like appropriate for a single Shabbaton. I think it's important for a marriage. There's a Gemara in Sota, Daf Beis, there's a Gemara in Moed Katan, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara in Sota says like this, Am B'Shmul Ba'iv Yisrach, Ki Avi Pasach, Teresh Lakish B'Sota, Amar Halki. This is how he used to begin learning Sota. He says, Ein Mezavi Lo La'adam, Isha El Lafi Maisif. A person only is going to get and gain a wife according to his actions. Meaning, if the guy's a really good guy, he's going to get a really good girl. Unfortunately, if he's not such a good guy, the opposite is true as well. That's, you're going to get something that is according to your own mahalak. Okay? So that's one opinion. That's the opinion of Rav Shmuel Bar Yisrael. Comes along the Gemara, and the Gemara continues. And then we quote Amarav Rav Chanan and Rav Yochanan, the Kashal is Avnik Kriyas Yamsuf. It's difficulty to engage somebody like Kriyas Yamsuf. It's difficulty, says the Gemara, and he's the soul. Vaham Rav Yehuda Marav. What's so difficult? Arbaim Yom Kodim Yitzira Havlad. Bas Kol Yosef Vamar is 40 days before somebody gets married. A Bas Kol gets up and says, Bas Ploni Laploni. Avram's going to marry Sarah. Bas Laploni, Bayis Ploni Laploni, Sade Ploni Laploni, it's preordained. This is going to be your wife, this is going to be your field, this is going to be your house. So how could it be? On the one hand, the first opinion was what? That you're going to marry somebody according to your actions. On the other hand, the second opinion is it's already been preordained prior. So which one is it? So the Gemara gives the famous answer. Habaziv Agrishin, Habaziv Akshem. One is by the first zivug. By the first zivug, that's preordained from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's your wife. That's who it's going to be. There's nothing to talk about. The second one, that goes according to your merits. The simple understanding of sotus, you have two opinions. Two opinions. One is that you can affect who you're going to marry. The other one is you can't. When can't you affect? You're stuck. You're by shirt, so to speak. It's by the first marriage. By the second marriage, there your actions have an impact. That's the simple understanding of this Gemara. There are a number of different ways of understanding this Gemara, which really shed a light on it. But it sounds like that our first marriage, where the demos of the Mizbeach fall, if God forbid, it gets broken up, it sounds like it's because it's from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu is preordaining it. So how to understand this? There's a number of different ways to understand this Gemara. The first way of understanding this Gemara is exactly the literal translation that by the first marriage is totally beshert. The Meiri perhaps has one of the most interesting ones. I'm going to tell you a story that happened, how I got to read a lot of stuff about a book I never heard about. Maybe you heard about it, but I'll get to that in a second. The Meiri says something fascinating. I'll share with you the Meiri. The Meiri says the following, explaining what's the difference between Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni. The Meiri says that what is Zivug Rishon and what is Zivug Sheni? Zivug Rishon, your first wife, is if somebody gets married at a very, very young age. You see, you start off and all of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines, so to speak, what your first marriage is going to be. That'll be your draft pick, I guess. You know, you're 13 years old, you're getting married. So therefore you don't have time to make it on your own. You have a prearranged marriage. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of. That's Zivug Rishon. What is Zivug Sheni? If you get married at a later age, which would be anywhere past the age of 13, l'chora. So all of a sudden, your actions, that's the Zivug Sheni we're talking about. The Zivug Sheni, the second Zivug, the second wife, is not necessarily the second girl you're going to marry. Nobody should have to go to a second wife. The second Zivug is that based on my actions, this is the wife that's Magia to me. But the Meiri says that that's the second marriage, which happens sometime after, you know, because you got married at a later age, which is when we all get married. So according to the Meiri, it comes out that our Zivug Sheni is all of ours. Because nobody here I know got married at the age of 13. Maybe still in some Hasidic communities they do that. But in our communities, everyone gets married later. So the Zivug Sheni is only according to our actions. But it doesn't change the question, I don't think. Because it comes out that whether you hold like the simple understanding that Zivug Rishon is from a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Sheni is according to our Maisim, or that even our current wives are Zivug Sheni because it's at a later date, and therefore that's according to our actions. But according to Meiri, he still says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu arranges in such a way that you're going to marry the girl that's Magia to you. So it comes out either way, whether you hold like the simple understanding of the Meiri. Let's say there's a conflict between you and your wife, and you're not happy with what she did. So if you hold like one opinion, if you hold like the simple understanding, so this is the woman HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose for you. You're going to complain about something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you? That would be the same thing as, God forbid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like you're supposed to have a surprise birthday party outside and it starts raining and you get all upset. Why are you upset? I mean, we do get upset, and that's a human emotion. But on an Amunah level, that's a chisar in an Amunah when you're upset about a circumstance that happens. Similarly, it's a chisar in an Amunah when you're upset at something your wife does. Because the real Amunah dictates and tells you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged it, that this would be your wife. And therefore, all of her behaviors are just really a channel, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you start to think along those lines, that my marriage is, I'm an active role in my marriage, don't get me wrong. But when I start to think in terms of Amunah, that everything that's happening to me is because of Amunah, I have to have Amunah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He arranged for this to happen. So that's a game changer. That changes the way I view the entire marriage. I don't come with a laundry list of complaints of things, just like I wouldn't come to a laundry list of complaints about my life. Sometimes life is difficult and I have to figure out how to fix the problem, how to take this challenge and use it as an opportunity to grow. Yeah, that's an outlook. But just to stop, sit and complain about all the things that are happening, that's a chisar and a namuna. And similarly, even if you take the Meiri's approach, what's the Meiri's approach? I'm marrying somebody magiali. So, the wife's behavior is based purely on my own behavior. Rabbi Nachman says it a little bit deeper way. You know, Rabbi Nachman, I don't really understand, but in all of Rabbi Nachman's Torah, he talks about that a wife is a reflection of the husband. So, if she's doing something you don't like, it really mirrors something that's internally problematic with you, and you just have to figure it out yourself. But either way, the problems are not necessarily because, you know, I deserve better. You don't deserve better. You deserve exactly what you have. Now, it was very interesting. I saw an article on this. It was something that was very interesting a long time ago. And it brought me to a Chassam Sofer. And the Chassam Sofer quotes an Ari on this Gemara, the Arizal. So how about you learn the Arizal? I don't know anything about the Arizal. So I went online, and I Googled this certain article, and I found The Mystery of the Matron's Query. Now, there's a book that the Arizal wrote on marriage, which is actually something about the apple in the orchard. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of it, but apparently you can't get the apple in the orchard. It's a very expensive book. But this is the Arizal's book on marriage. But the Chassam Sofer says an amazing, amazing line on this Zivig Rishon, Zivig Sheni. He says, when we're all born with a wife. Because Lotov Adam Diotov Adam, Adam means one, and therefore man and woman are created together. Okay. And man and woman were eventually separated. So he says, in the initial outset of our lives, Adam was born, man and woman. That's Zivig Rishon. And again, I don't fully understand this, but the Chassam Sofer himself says he doesn't fully understand this. This is a true of the Chassam Sofer, Chelek Zayin Siman Lamed Daled, where he says Zivug Sheni is really our lives that started now, but we're reincarnated. So our reincarnation is based on all of our actions in a previous life, so to speak, and our actions now. So based on this reincarnation, we're going to get a wife who we deserve right now. So everything's going to work itself out. But the point is the same. That the Gemara in Sota, in its introduction, discussing Kan B'Zivig Rishon, Kan B'Zivig Sheni, that our Zivig Sheni, our second Zivig, which according to the Chassam Sofer is everybody in this world because it's all based on the reincarnation, is all based on our own actions. So how could one ever look at the other person and say, what does she have to do to correct herself? So really we're supposed to be looking at ourselves internally. It has to be an Emunah factor that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is playing the role and finding for us somebody who's Magi Elan. Even stronger than this, there's a famous Gemara Moed Kut. For those of you doing the daf, this was only 2 weeks ago. So you should be forgetting this daf within the next couple of days, right? Because 2 weeks ago was about the amount, the length of time. So, for me it's about 24 hours. You know, it was funny. Somebody asked me, how many kids are in a certain yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael? So I said, I could tell you how many kids went there in 2002. I can't tell you how many kids are there this year. It's a function of age. 2 kids are there this year? 6 is always showing. 2002? You tell me the yeshiva, I'll tell you how many are there. What? Rav Wilson is your year? Two. A hotel. Wow. Anyway, so the Gemara Moed Katan says like this. The Gemara Moed Katan allows you to get engaged in a Chol HaMoed. What's the head to that allows you to give? Shema Yakti Menu Achir. Good, the daf is still fresh. Aye! What's the kash you could ask on that? If we just learned in Sota that it's already preordained, who's coming? So one opinion is, somebody wants that girl and she's going to daven for her to die rather than be with you. Right? So there's all kinds of radical opinions. Shem Yachdi Menu Acha, and Muki Yosef, I think, says something similar. That you can daven for the other person not to get married, or that you should get that girl and override that other shidduch. So davening plays a role. But then the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says that it's all from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara continues there, and it brings three rayas that all zivugim are from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Number one, Minatora Minanavim Minaksu. Me Hashem Ishalish. Number one, Minatora Dechsiv. Where do we see in the Torah that Shiduchim are from a Kadosh Baruch Hu? From the classic story of Shiduchim, Vaya'an Lovin of Besuel, and they say, Vayomru Me Hashem Yatza Hadavar. This thing came from Hashem. So it's funny, right? We're learning from Lovin and Besuel. There's so many halachas about marriage, we learn from Lovin and Besuel. We also learn about Bedeket from Lovin and Besuel. It's so funny, like, you know, you think like these guys aren't the best guys, but we're learning Torah values. They wouldn't have been quoted in the Torah had it not been a Torah value. Me Hashem Yatza Hadavar. That's Aleph. Beis, Menanavim, Techsiv. When it came time for Shimshon to bow to marry the Plishti woman, so their parents are going nuts. This is a Shidduch? This is a Shidduch that my kid is going to marry this girl from Plishtim? It says, V'avvim lo yadu ki Hashem, but they didn't know that it came from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So could you imagine? Here you are, and your sons are getting married, but they didn't know. So the Navi tells us it was from Hashem. Why? Because it was a big plan that that Shimshon had to marry this particular girl in order for the snowball effect to happen. Thirdly, it says, Minaksum Dichsiv, Ubeis Vahon Nachlas Avos Em Hashem Isha Meshelis. That it comes, that a woman comes from Hashem. So you have three different rights. Let me ask you a question. It already came from the Torah. It already. So what do you have to tell me that it comes from Nevi'im Miksuv? What's the underlying idea here in this Gemara Moed Kai? I think the underlying idea is people believe. I'll share with you a story that will answer this question. When I got married, we had a choice on our invitation. It used to be that everybody would write on their invitations, Imbaz Gilo. Right? Your shidduch, your bashert. But it changed. Right? I don't know. You look at the invitations, I think half of them now say, Imbechiras Libo. In the person who I chose. Weinberg actually darshened this a couple of weeks ago, explained the difference of it, whatever it was. But Imbaz Gilo, I believe that it's a shidduch. But if I say Imbechiras Libo, I think I'm playing a role in it. So if I'm playing a role in it, that's taking away God's hand in this, so to speak. So says Tidgur Morkan, I'll bring you a raya from Torah, I'll bring you a raya from Nevi'im, I'll bring you a raya from Suvim. Have to believe, ani mamin be'muna shalema, that everything that happens in my life, all of the things that are surrounding me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is playing a role. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is playing a role in my marriage. He's not playing a role in my marriage as much as he's playing a role in who my wife is going to be. How in the world am I ever going to even have one complaint if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's pulling the strings, so to speak? So this is what the Gemara Morkan is hammering home this point. People don't believe that, though, because people like to think that they're in control of their destiny. Today's one of those great days. You know, you're watching. Rabbi Emerson made a beautiful video in 2003 on what happened in 9/11. So I showed it to the guys today. And, you know, some of the comments were so telling of the people who were in the World Trade Center. It was so interesting. Where people were saying, you know, they called their wives to say goodbye. You know, it was just crazy, you know. The kids didn't understand the video. It's so long ago, they didn't understand, like, how do we have certain videos and it wasn't so many videos. Like, there were no cell phones back then that had cameras on it. Like, there was a lot of different things. But one of the striking things that George Bush's comment that day was, Lo yira, I'm not scared of bed because I'm with you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with you. And people called their wives and said, don't worry, I'm with God. You know, people, I don't know how religious they were and how religious they were, but they understood that every event in their lives, at their moment of the greatest tragedy, they recognized that God is with them. So, of course, forget tragedy, greatest triumph. So when you're with your wife, Kadosh Baruch Hu has arranged it, that this is going to be your wife. This is the most important idea, I believe, in all of marriage. Because when you believe this, when you believe that your marriage is ordained from Kadosh Baruch Hu, it changes the way you act towards your wife. It changes your whole vision of marriage. You're not bringing the Shekhinah into your house, more, which of course you are doing, but that Kadosh Baruch Hu has selected this woman for you to bring the Shekhinah into your house. I'll share with you one more idea.
Which one,
the Gemara Moed Katan, or the two, yeah. The steer between the two Gemaras?
No, just the Gemara Moed Katan and the Raya.
So the Raya, why do you have to bring three Rayas?
See, why do you have to bring three Rayas? You only know one, right?
You only have to bring one, because people don't believe it. People are believing that what? Imbaz Gila. They don't believe that. They believe in Mechiras Libo. But all right, look at the invitations you get in the mail. Right? The collars.
Anyone read
the collars do. Oh, yeah. Every single thing on the invitation, they're sitting there and they're collecting.
I thought it was like a given. I thought it was just like, you just
tell them the names. Right. Part of the exactly.
There are some people who do that. There are some people who buy it into the whole thing. Some people have the if the Mashiach doesn't come, the wedding is going to be. You know, you have all kinds of different shtick. There are definitely different nuschos that people have. You know, you always try to copy off the last one. Whatever it is, all good things. There is a wild medrash that a story that happens. I'm going to read to you the following story. The story is like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who judges. He lifts and he raises us up. He lowers us down. Matrona. There was a matrona who l'chora was a non-Jewish woman. She'ela is Rav Yossi b'Rav Chalafta. She went to Rav Yossi b'Rav Chalafta. Amr lo. Lit kama yomim bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu zom. In how many days did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? Amr lo. He says, l'shisha yomim. 6 days. What's his right? You think he'd look at Bereshit? He says no. He says Dichsiv, because it says in Pasuk, Ki Sheshet Yom Asa Hashem. Quotes Pesukim by the Aseret Sedarim. Amalo, okay. So he created the world in 6 days. Uma Yoshev Osem El Sasha. So what is the Kodesh Baruch Hu doing after those 6 days? Amalo Mezaveg Zivugim. He's making Shiduchim. Pito Shoploni Laploni. This daughter is going to marry this guy. Ishto Shoploni Laploni. Such and such is going to marry another one. Mamono Shoploni Laploni. So on and so forth. Amra Vahadihi. That's it. Says, Afani Yichol Lasaskin. I could do the same thing. No kunz. Kama Vadim Vekama Shechos Yeshli. I have a lot of slaves, a lot of maidservants. Make Shiduchim. Ubishah Kalani Yichol Zavkin. In a couple of hours, I could make some Shiduchim. If it's easy for you, it's as difficult for Kodesh Baruch Hu as separating the Red Sea.
Wow.
So, he left. So what should you do? That night, the matron wanted to prove. She gathered 1,000 slaves and 1,000 maidservants. So you can have an amazing ceremony, right? They do this in the cults. Like, you know, they get all these people together, they get one big chuppah, and Shalom Yisrael. She made all these lines for Amran. She said, you're marrying this one, and this one's marrying this one, and Vizivigal. And she married him. Look at this. Belailacha. She married them all off one night. Ubit Safra. So Ubit Safra, Osan Lagab. In the morning, she brought him to them. Vidin Reshap, Sidin Einar. This one broke their head, and this one broke their eyes. Shamtidin Regla, Tavira. This one broke their legs. Meaning they killed each other. It was like Ray Rice. Could you imagine such a thing like that? It was like, you know, they all punched each other out. It wasn't, you know, wasn't done. It didn't make it to the news. They didn't have video cameras. I have a whole Torah on that, but not for now. Right? So it was a terrible thing. So everyone says, don't know, Les Anaboy Lada, Vidamra, Les Anaboy Ladon. This one says, I don't want that one, and that one says, I don't want this one. Not like Ray Rice. See, in Ray Rice's case, they punch each other out, but they got married anyway. Okay, but in this case, they punch each other out, they broke their eyes, they broke their legs, and they didn't want to get married. So Shalcha Vavias Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalapta. She went back and sent Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalapta. Amulo, Emes hi Torahschem no umushubechasi. Your Torah is the truth, and it's beautiful. Amash amarta yafa amarta. What you said is beautiful. Didn't I tell you? If it's easy to do, it's difficult to Kodesh Baruch Hu like Kriyas Yamsuf. Sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he does it against people's will. That's what it says. Elokim. Notice the term here. Elokim. Moshe v'chidim beisa. Motzi asirim v'kosheres. Mayibo kosheres. Bebechi v'shiros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is spending now his whole world. That's all he does in this world is Mizav Yizibulim.
Does somebody get rid of the Miri?
What's that?
Does he get rid of the Miri?
He just, why?
Because he does all his work so you can do it before you're 13, and then after you're 13 you have your second Zivug.
Yeah, but even if you have your second Zivug, still Kadosh Baruch Hu's got to arrange it that you're going to marry somebody Magil. It's not going to be the one that you started with, but you still have to throw the Kadosh Baruch Hu to the chalk. So Kadosh Baruch Hu's arranging all these things. It's a remarkable concept. First of all, so many kashes on this Medrash. And if you want to read this Apple in the Orchard, he's got a whole Arizal on this, but that's not where I'm going to go. The Baal HaTanya says something a little easier. And I think it really gets the heart of what I've been talking about tonight. And that is the following, is that, first of all, use the term Elokim. Elokim is Midas Adin. Secondly, it starts off that this woman is challenging and saying, what is the Kodesh Baruch Hu doing? But it starts off, how long did it take Kodesh Baruch Hu to create the world? Of course this person knew how long Kodesh Baruch Hu to create the world. What do they want to say? If a Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days, what's he doing now? It's all a challenge. Meaning, if he created the world in 6 days, the next question should have been, and how is he sustaining everything? But what's the answer? How is the Kodesh Baruch Hu allowing the world to sustain itself? A Kodesh Baruch Hu sends a shaliach, and lets the shaliach handle it. But what's the one thing that a Kodesh Baruch Hu kiviyachul is handling? Shiduchim. Why is a Kodesh Baruch Hu handling Shiduchim? Because do you know what it takes? Do you know how many coincidences it needs? And I use the word coincidence, not coincidence. In order to get man and wife together. It takes so much that this person had to be in that time, at the right place, in the right time. I know in my life, you know, I met my wife about 5 times before we went out. You go back when I was 8 years old and she was 6 years old. And in everybody's life, you have to see that such and such person had to have met such and such a person. If that two people didn't meet, then I would have never met. And so many different coincidences, I shouldn't use the word coincidences, had to happen. So yeah, the first 6 days HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked alone in creating the world, and after that he led the world, he has Hashgacha Pratis through Shlichim, but the one thing that he is working on is Shiduchim. The one thing, Elokim, Alts Midas Hadin, not Alts Rachim, not the name Hashem, but it uses the word specifically Elokim to tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one Mizavik Zivugim, to tell us that the whole focus of a marriage has to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically designed this particular person for you to marry. So before there's any, you can't come with a laundry list of complaints. That's not the starting point. The starting point has to be, what do I have to do to make this situation better? Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu wants me in this situation. Rabbi Willig says, and he's quoting from a Volga, which I haven't seen inside, but if you listen online, it's fantastic. Rabbi Willig says, the most important thing in any marriage is, just like there's Kabbalah's Ol Malchus, we have to accept upon the yoke of a Kaddish Baruch Hu whenever he throws you, there's Kabbalah's Ol Isha. And everything that comes along with it. And when you reach the stage of Kabbalah Sol Isha, then it changes and it reframes the question. It doesn't mean you don't have to work on it and accept your lot. That's not true. You're not accepting your lot as much as you're working on your lot and assuming that it is your lot. Now we go back to the beginning. When the Gemara in Gittin says that Morita loved Ma'os because the Zivug Rishon didn't work out, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged it for you in such a way. And since you didn't spend the time to work it out, but instead looked for an out, it doesn't mean that all marriages have to stay, but you didn't look to work it out. That's when the Mizbeach is crying. Because what is the Mizbeach? The Marsha explains, the Mizbeach is that my connection with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's where I bring the Korban. And if that place where I'm supposed to get close to the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and the Kaddish Baruch Hu arranges, this is exactly who my wife is supposed to be, and I'm supposed to have Amunah, that this is supposed to be my wife. So if I do all that, then I'm going to work on the marriage, and there won't be the Gid. And then the tears won't cry. Because what is a tear? A tear represents hesed. It represents loss. A loss of my potential connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you go into all this, this whole avoda, that this is Emunah, that this is who I am supposed to marry. And once I recognize with Emunah that this is who I'm supposed to marry, so it changes the question. What could I do to work on it? So we start this little group. I don't know, maybe it'll grow, maybe it won't grow. Maybe people will drop out. But the whole vision is one of Emunah that this is who HaKadosh Baruch Hu has selected for me, and once this is who HaKadosh Baruch Hu has selected for me, now what am I going to do to work on that potential shrich? Okay. Shrich.